A little catch-up recording for service on 24th of October. First reading is from 1 Timothy 2, from 1 Timothy 2, starting at the first verse. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good, pleases God our Saviour, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, testimony given in its proper time. And for this purpose, I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying, and a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, a special prayer for this Sunday. It's the one that talks about reading, marking, learning, and inwardly digesting from God's word for our comfort. And that is our prayer now as we come together and think about our next theme. And our theme for this Sunday, building on our picture of church, is that we want to share the good news of Jesus. We want to share the good news of Jesus. I wonder what things make you evangelistic. What things do you enthusiastically promote or want to engage others about? Maybe you discovered a brilliant TV show that you encourage your friends to watch. Perhaps you found an amazing recipe that you share with all those who love cooking. Maybe a doctor fixed your bad back and you recommend it to everyone you meet. If you're a Christian, you have something even better to rave about. Something that grips you, excites you like nothing else. Something you've benefited from immeasurably and something that will benefit your friends infinitely. Today we're thinking about why we would want to share the good news of Jesus about others. Why should we witness? Well, you might have come across bad news, good news jokes. The idea that sort of someone is falling out of a plane and that's the bad news. The good news is they have a parachute. The bad news is it doesn't work. The good news is that below them is a big haystack. Bad news is that in the haystack, there's a pitchfork. The good news is that they miss the pitchfork. The bad news is that they miss the haystack. Silly idea, isn't it? But we're idea of good news and bad news. I don't know if you've ever thought about Jesus as both bad news and good news. But in Jesus, we are confronted with bad reality and we're given good news to rescue us. Maybe this quote will help. We are far worse than we realized and far more loved than we could ever dream. As we come to Jesus and particularly the cross of Christ, we realize that we are far worse than we realized and far more loved than we could ever dream. The bad news is that Jesus had to die for us. As we come to the cross, it shows us that none of us can please God by ourselves. None of us can get to heaven under our own steam. The Bible consistently tells us that no one is righteous. No one is good enough to live with a perfect and holy God for eternity. We all turn our backs on God in a million different ways each day, and we reject the infinite gods, and that has infinite consequences. His perfect justice demands that we are separated from him for eternity. The news about Jesus is not another path to follow, steps to complete, some great challenge to get to the end of. No, nothing we could do ourselves can repay the debt that we owe him. But the good news is that God already knows that. He knows you better than you know yourself, and he loves you anyway. In order to satisfy his perfect justice and to demonstrate his amazing love, he sent Jesus to die on the cross. The fact that he had to do that shows just how desperate our situation is. But as Jesus died, he took on his shoulders our penalty that we deserve. His perfection is then transferred to us. And the fact that he achieved that is proven by the resurrection. He defeats death and rose to new life so we can have new life too. For those who will accept Jesus as their Lord and follow him, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There's more that can be said, of course, but that is the gospel in a nutshell. The cross is bad news to humble us. We're far worse than we realized and far more loved than we can ever dream. Now, to understand that good news, we first need to understand the bad news. It's not pleasant sometimes to explain to our friends and family, to try and confront them with the reality of this bad news. They don't like hearing bad news. It takes courage gentleness and love to explain it to our friends. And next time, in a couple of weeks, when we come back to our series, we're going to think about how we go about sharing our faith. But just for today, our aim is to see why it's important to do so. Why should Christians risk friendships and social status by talking about Jesus? Why does everyone need to hear about Jesus? Well, in our reading from 1 Timothy 2, the Apostle Paul is writing to his protege, Timothy, who's leading the church in a town called Ephesus. And in this part of the letter, he's explaining why the church should be praying for their local government. He says, we pray for our government for peace. And why is peace important? Because it allows more people to hear about Jesus. So 1 Timothy 2 verse 3, this is good and pleases God our Saviour, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of Jesus, of the truth. This is what God is like. This is his heart. He sent his son to die, so he wants all people to trust Jesus and be saved through him. Paul goes on to explain why it's so important for Christians to be passing on the message about Jesus. First of all, verse 5, there is one God. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5, there's one God. It's a central truth of the whole Bible. Contrasting with polytheism around the day, and certainly people looking for gods in all sorts of places today, there really is just one God who is king over everything and everyone, even if not everybody recognizes that. There's one God, and there's also just one mediator, one way for us to reach that God. Verse 5 says, for there is one God, one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. A mediator is a go-between, someone who can bridge that great chasm between us and God that comes from our sin. Jesus is that bridge, and he does it by paying a ransom, the price our sin deserved, paid by Jesus, so we're set free. And Paul's point is there's only one mediator, just like there's only one road bridge over the Thames in Maidenhead. So there's only one bridge to God. If you're Maidenhead and you want to cross the Thames, you need to come to that one bridge. And we as sinners want to come to our Father God. We need to come through Jesus. So in verse 6, it says he's a ransom for all people. He's available for anyone who comes to him as the one saviour, the one mediator. It's open to the whole world, and it's striking that Christian communities now are found in all corners of the globe, Asia, Africa, America, Europe, all with different cultural flavors, but all with the same Lord Jesus. There's one God, there's one mediator, and there's one way to be saved, hearing about and trusting in Jesus. Just because a bridge is there, it doesn't mean people will walk across it. They need to know the bridge is there. Jesus is the one way to God, but to trust in him, people need to know about him. So in verse 7 of 1 Timothy 2, Paul has said, for this purpose, I was appointed a herald and an apostle, to tell the truth, not lying, a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles. Herald is like one of those people maybe used to walk around the streets declaring, proclaiming news, trying to get your attention to hear it. Paul says he has a particular mission to tell the news, to herald about Jesus to the Gentiles, meaning all non-Jewish people. He traveled around what is now Turkey and Greece, that kind of area, doing exactly that. He was a herald, declaring out, announcing the news of Jesus. If there's no announcement, people won't find that only way to the Father God. Think about a medicine that you're trying to give. Maybe it's an injection. There's lots of that at the moment, isn't there? A COVID injection or a flu vaccination. I've got an injection to give you. I know it's good for you, but you're saying, hey, I've just had too many injections in my arm. I don't want any more. You say, well, if you don't have this, you'll begin to smell and your feet will fall off and everyone will stay away from you. Suddenly you realize there's a need, there's bad news. And so you want the solution. Give me that medicine. I need it now. Put it in my arm. Well, that's what we have here, isn't it? We have the good news of Jesus, which is a solution that people need to be ready to hear by knowing what their problem is. Well, what is God's plan to make sure this happens, that all people will hear about Jesus? Well, it's us, Christians, passing on the good news. The book of Acts tells a story of what happened after Jesus rose from the dead. The church is established. In Acts 1, verse 8, Jesus tells them, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Do you remember Acts 2 from a couple of weeks ago? God pouring out his spirit with power on people from all nations, different languages were spoken, because God wants all people to come to him from all over the world. Now, the first disciples, those 12, they couldn't literally get to the ends of the earth themselves. but the church can, following them. Christians today are still following this command from Jesus, Christians passing on the good news. And God's plan is that we Christians pass on the good news, but he doesn't leave us to it. We are empowered by God's Spirit. We too receive that Holy Spirit when we put our trust in Jesus. We are his witnesses in our families and our workplaces. We're on that front line. It's a phrase we'll come back to next term, I think. Front line, wherever we've been placed, we're on the front line of the kingdom of God, looking to help others, our friends, our family, our workplace, our hobbies, wherever we've been placed, helping others receive the free gift of belonging in Jesus. And it's reassuring to know that the Holy Spirit does the heavy lifting. On our own, we could be pretty hopeless. But the Spirit is busy convincing people of their need for Jesus, opening their eyes to the reality around. Because each person is made wanting justice and love. And we see broken relationships, selfishness, suffering. It should scream something's wrong. Sometimes we need our eyes open. We need to be confronted by that bad reality. God's Spirit helps us and helps them see the need to be saved and the free offer of that salvation as we try maybe to feebly explain it to them. We can't persuade anyone to follow Jesus, but the Holy Spirit can and does and uses our words. That's why witnessing always involves prayer to God, to be at work. And that's how the gospel has indeed spread from Jerusalem through Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So what does this all mean for me? Next time we'll think more about how we witness to our friends. But for now, let's read this quote from the book by Christian author and historian Michael Green. It's in your booklets if you have them. He writes, "The early spread of the gospel must have happened not through formal preaching, but in formal chattering to friends and chance acquaintances, in homes, wine shops, on walks and around market stalls. They went everywhere gossiping the gospel. They did it naturally, enthusiastically, and with the conviction of those who are not paid to say that sort of thing. Consequently, they were taken seriously, and the movement spread, notably among the lower classes." You see, most of us are not preachers, but we all have plenty of opportunities to chatter about Jesus and the difference he has made in our lives. So let's learn the good news about Jesus. Let's get to know a gospel message clearly. Set yourself a short amount of time, and then just be able to explain something what God means to you. Forgiveness, acceptance, purpose and a plan. Any of those things, we'll be able to share that, to be ready to share it. Let's love the good news about Jesus and let's love Jesus deeply. It'll be hard to interest anybody else if we're not passionate about this ourselves. Love the good news, love Jesus. Let's live the good news about Jesus and let's do it publicly. Let's not be religious chameleons being something on a Sunday morning, something else down the pub or with our family on another day. And let's pray for opportunities that crop up in everyday conversation to speak the good news about Jesus courageously. Jesus said, "You are salt and light." Do you remember that from Matthew 5? He says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." You are, Christian, the salt and light. You can make a positive impact, lighting up the truth about God, being fundamentally and strikingly different to those around us. But Jesus here in Matthew 5 is primarily talking about the danger of losing your saltiness or putting your light under a bowl to hide it. And I wonder if that speaks to you. It certainly spoke to me this week as I was thinking about this. Times when we feel pressure to not speak up or not make that distinctive, difficult choice at work or amongst family or friends or wherever it is. Being salt and light, it must mean more than just being nice people. We want people to hear the vital forever good news about Jesus. Well, let's lastly remind ourselves who is the boss of all this. As I read from the end of Matthew 28, listen out for all the alls and everys and everythings in here to hear what Jesus is saying. Matthew 28, verse 16 to 20. "Then the disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." So what about all those alls and everys? What do you think each means? It's the complete package, isn't it? Jesus is the one way to one God, the Father. From him, there is complete authority to go and make disciples of people of all religions and none, those who are friends, who are family, who we don't know so well. And the ultimate goal of our witness to Jesus is not to be right or to win an argument about the meaning of life or even to show we are better. It is to help people become disciples too, followers and learners along with us. To discover the good news about Jesus, the way to being in a good Father God's good loving family forever. I'm going to pray for us as we finish. Father God, we do thank you for that we have good news, and we pray that you would, by your Spirit, help us to love you and love others so much that we really want to share this good news with others. Amen.